Well, this morning I want to continue on talking about starting a living and active life with Christ. And we're getting to the third part of the things that I want to talk about at least. And that part in your devotion, I titled it, Act. I'm not sure if that word will translate well, but what I mean is to take action. It's not that I'm saying to get up on the stage and become a movie star or something like that, but it's to take action, to do things. The point is that we started out yesterday talking about how we need to seek Jesus for ourselves. So we're going to devote ourselves to looking for Jesus wherever we can find him, to pursuing him with all of our heart, to really going after him, to seek him, to know him better. And then we talked about that's kind of a partnership, that we seek the Lord on our own. He directs our lives, but we need to be talking with other believers about what God is doing so they can encourage us, help correct us if we're wrong, but so that we can build his kingdom and bring glory to his kingdom. And I want to continue talking about that today in the idea that when Jesus speaks and other people encourage us, what is the next step? So we say, oh, we've heard the Lord speak. It's so wonderful. Now what? I want us to start by looking at a parable in the book of Matthew. And if you read your devotion this morning, then you've already read it. But I'll read it again. It's in Matthew 21. It'll be 28 through, we'll do 31. Jesus said, but what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. And the son said, nope, I won't do it. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father told the younger son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. And which one of these two obeyed his father? And the people listening said the first. And Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth, tax collectors and prostitutes will get in the kingdom of heaven before you do. I'll read 32. John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him. And while tax collectors and prostitutes did, and even when you saw this happen, you refused to believe him to repent of your sins. And Jesus is talking to this group of believers. See, now Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. So, you know, we know that we celebrate his birth at Christmas. We don't know exactly when he was born, but we choose to accept that he was born on Christmas. That's just the day we celebrate it. He grew up from a little baby into a man. And in Jerusalem at the time, there were these teachers that were called rabbis. And the rabbis, they didn't have a church. They didn't have a specific place that they were teaching, but they would travel around. And so they would go from village to village sharing their message, their interpretation of the scripture, so that people would follow them, would listen to them. And that's who Jesus was. He was walking around, and he was the original rock star teacher because his message was so different. His message to the people of Israel was about a God that loved them. And all the other rabbis, they were teaching about some part of the law, some little thing. You must obey it this particular way. This is the only way you will find favor with God. It's all about the law, the rules, do this, don't do that. All of those things. When Jesus came, he started talking about things like love. That for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. That whoever believes in him will have eternal life. People are walking around saying, all these other rabbis, all they do is put a burden on me. More rules, more laws. The more they teach, the more I have to do. But Jesus is saying that God is doing for me. And so the people loved his message. Not only that, but he was doing signs and wonders. It says that one time a woman was healed just by touching the hem of his coat. They wore a big tunic, you know, and it would go all the way down to the ground. And she was sick, and she thought, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And so she snuck through the crowd, because everywhere he went, there were huge crowds, just like a rock star. And she snuck up and she touched the hem of his garment, the very bottom. And she was healed immediately, and Jesus knew she had been healed. He told her it was her faith that healed her, not that she had magically touched him, but because she believed that Jesus could do it. And that's where we want to talk about today. We want to talk about when we're taking action, why do we take action? Why do we do the things that we do in our walk with Christ? And this parable that Jesus starts with is one of the teachings. Another reason that people like to listen to him was because of parables. They're nice stories. We look at it and it makes us think, well, what does Jesus mean? What happened was he became so popular, all the other rabbis, the leaders of the Jewish community, they became very jealous. And they said, we don't like this guy. You know why? In most cases, it boils down to money. If everybody is following Jesus, then they're not listening to the other rabbis who might be saying, you need to give a certain amount of money. And so Jesus' popularity was robbing their pocket. The same was true for the Pharisees that were saying you have to make this many sacrifices at the temple and all these things because they had the business of selling the things to be sacrificed. And they were getting hurt financially as well. And so their own greed made them jealous of just how popular Jesus had become. And they come to him over and over and over in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. The Pharisees, they're always trying to trick Jesus. They're always trying to make him mess up, to make the people mad at him, or to say something so they can arrest him, or to say something so that the Roman government will arrest him. They always want Jesus to mess up, but he never does. And instead, sometimes, he would turn his parables to them. And this is one of those times. Jesus had a cousin who was named John the Baptist, and he came as somebody, as a prophet, saying, the kingdom of the Lord is at hand. It's close. It's about to be here. Something incredible is about to happen. And he was very popular too, but he was out. You had to walk a long way out into the middle of the wilderness. And John the Baptist, he kind of looked like me. You know, he never cut his hair, that he dressed in the skin of an animal, you know. So he looked like this wild man out in the middle of the desert, and he was preaching repentance. He was saying, you have to repent. You have to turn away from your sin. And when people believed that, they were getting baptized in the river that he was at. It says that he ate bugs. That's how he lived. Now, I have a lot of hair, but I don't eat bugs. Okay, so that's as far as the correlation goes. John the Baptist was preaching, and as he was popular, all these others, these Pharisees, these rabbis, they wanted to go hear what John had to say as well. And John was a prophet from God. He was speaking a message from God to the people. If you wanted to seek the Lord, you might go and listen to what John had to say. And then John shared a message about repentance. Turn away from your wicked ways and repent. And Jesus is saying that the message was spoken, and the Pharisees in this parable are like the second son. The second son says, oh yes, we will obey everything that God tells us. But then in their actions, they never did. They never actually took the action to obey. In the parable, the man has two sons, and he tells the older son, go and work in the field. And the older son says, nope, I'm not living my life in obedience to you. I don't want anything to do with what you tell me to do. I'm my own man. I'm my own individual. I won't do it. But as the day goes on, he repents. He changes his mind, and he decides, no, I will go and obey what my father has said. That represented all of these people who were coming to Christ. That the Pharisees would have nothing to do with. The prostitutes, the tax collectors. Everybody hates the tax collector. These were people that in the society were the least. They were the lowest. They were the most disgusting people around. And yet they're coming to Jesus in obedience. Even though their life has never looked like obedience, now their mind has changed. And they will come and obey. And the other son, the younger son, is the one who says, yes, I will do it. And Jesus is comparing that to the religious community, who is always talking about God, always saying with these high and beautiful words, all the ways that we worship the Lord. And look how beautiful we are as we worship our God. Look at all of the ways that we will tell you how to obey God. And it was all about the talk. And when God said to them, hey, follow the kingdom of God. Oh, surely we will do it. We will follow the kingdom of God. But they never did. They never took the action it took to obey God. We believe, as Christians, that Jesus is alive. We believe that he's a worthy God to follow, that we want to follow him because he has amazing things for our life, that he has something for us to do in our life, some action to take, some goal, some mission to accomplish for each one of our lives. When I taught about seeking Jesus, that's the first step. Is we want to seek him out. We want to take everything away that would be in the way of hearing what he has to say. So that we can clearly hear, what is Jesus telling me for my life? And we meet with other believers to encourage us into action. And sometimes when we meet, it's easy for it to be about the show, just like the Pharisees, just like those other people. That we come together and we're very worried that all the microphones work, that the lights are just right and the song is practiced so many times that it's perfect. And yet our heart, we could care less about what God wants to do because we want to put on this show. We want to do the thing that looks the best. That we are saying with our voice, oh yes, I am doing everything that God wants. But in our heart, we're nowhere close. When we seek the Lord, we're encouraged by the believers into real action, not just words. And the book of James talks about this, and you can turn there if you want to James chapter 2, which is the other passage from your devotion this morning. And James is making an excellent, excellent point to the believers. I can't ever find James. I don't know what it is. I know where it is, but my big fat thumbs are always in the way. It's James chapter 2. And I want to read starting in verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? I'll read it again. What good is it, brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your action? Can this kind of faith save anyone? What is the point that James is making? We need to understand that as a follower of Christ, what do? We follow Christ. Let me give an example, okay? All right, I need two volunteers. Great, thanks for looking up. Go on, it's okay, no problem. One more. Oh, hi, come on. The best example. Okay, so what's your name? Huh? Chong Chong? Is that close? What's your name? Stella.
Stella!
Okay, there's an old movie in the U.S., and this guy, like, he's had a very hard life, and he falls in love with this girl, and her name is Stella, okay? So, like, the movie's called On the Waterfront because he works at the shipyard, and he has this very hard life, and he's in love with this girl, but she doesn't want anything to do with him because of the life that he has is so difficult, and he stands outside of her door, professing her love, and he keeps yelling, Stella! Stella! Just like that. So every time I've heard her name Stella, that's what I think of. He's like, he goes, I'll be somebody. I can be somebody, trying to get her to love him. Right? So he goes, Stella! So I love it. Okay. And your name, there's no movie. I'm sorry. Okay. So your name is Chong. Chong Chong. Okay. All right. I want you to come right here. All right. And face that way. Stella, come right here. I want you to follow Chong Chong. Okay? All right, so walk to the door and then walk back. Are we watching? This is amazing. Something going on here that's very important to understand. All right, very good. Nice example. You can sit down. What happened? Stella was the follower. So if I said, follow Chong Chong, and she walks off and Stella just stands here and watches, is she a follower?
No.
Even if she said, oh, I'm following her. But just stood here, is she following? No. She can proclaim that I will follow her. I will follow her everywhere. I will do everything that she wants me to do. I am the best follower. But if she never takes action, if she never moves, is she any follower at all? No. And that's what James is saying. He's saying that what good is our faith? What good is the things that we think are true about Jesus? We put our faith, we say, we believe Jesus. That he died for our sins, that he loves us, that he's made the sacrifice, and that it's enough. But then in our actions, is that true? We believe that Jesus wants to speak to us, that he has things for us to do in his kingdom, to build his kingdom, to bring him glory. Amazing things that are infallible, that we can never even understand until we start to follow. We say those things, but do we ever take the action to follow him? You're not a follower of Jesus if you don't follow Jesus. It's not just about the words. We can say whatever we want, but what action do we show with our life? And if we truly seek Jesus, if we really beg Him to make our life something that means something, then He will tell us things to do. He will lead us where we can follow Him. And what should we spend our life going after? Sometimes we think, I want to be very, very rich. I want to have the nicest car, the most beautiful husband or wife, lots of children, a very big house. And yet, in all of history, thousands of years of people being alive, when did any of that matter? Many people have been rich. Many have married the most beautiful spouse. Many have had large families. What did it change in eternity? We have to pick the thing that matters. Pick the thing that lasts. To follow Jesus. And we have faith. And what is faith? Faith is so difficult really to understand. It's believing when we can't even see something. It's believing that it will be true. In our case, when we're talking about Christians, we believe the things that Jesus is leading us to do. And we trust that when He tells us to do something, something amazing and wonderful will happen, not for our glory, but for His. And I want to tell you a story. A friend of mine, his name is John. He's actually been here to India, but it's been 5 or 6 years ago. He grew up in a Christian home, always going to church, always taking part in the Bible study and the service. You know, he was an active guy. When he got older, about your age, a little older, he decided that he would start doing some drugs, drinking alcohol, and going to all the parties and chasing the women and all these things. And that's how he lived his life for years. A few years ago, John got real. He said, am I following Christ or not? And he decided that he wanted to follow Christ above all. That he was going to give up all of those things to follow Christ. And over the years, his relationship with the Lord has grown and grown and grown. And he is now an expert, I think, in listening to God. And I met with him a few weeks ago. We had breakfast in a restaurant together. And he told me an incredible story that I want to tell to you. One day, he was driving down the road because he's started off in his own ministry. And he has a lot of people that he ministers with and to. And they do all kinds of incredible things for the Lord. But he had met a fellow that was also addicted to drugs and had taken him to a rehab. And he was involved in this rehab. I don't know if you know what that is, but in the States, for alcohol or for drugs or for whatever, we have a rehab will be almost like camp. You go to this place, it's not your home, and there are people there that are working through to get you over being addicted to the drugs. And so John was going to visit his friend who had decided to go to rehab to get clean, to not have drugs anymore. And he's driving down the road, and as he's driving down the road, he sees a fellow on the side of the road. And he said, the Lord told me to offer him a ride. I said, I don't want to do that. I'm going to see my friend. It's a good thing already. I don't need to give this guy a ride. There's no need. And he started thinking about it as he was driving. He really got convicted. Am I a follower of Jesus? I need to follow what Jesus tells me to do. So he turns around. He spends all this time trying to find the fellow. And he finds him. And he says, hey, can I give you a ride? Where are you going? The guy's like, oh, yeah, man, it would be great if I could get a ride. Jumps in John's car with him. John says, where are we going? And the guy says, I want to go buy some drugs at this house over here. Can you drive me to the house? And John said, well, I don't think you need to get drugs, but I'm just giving you a ride. You tell me where to go, and we'll go. And I'm just doing this because Jesus loves you. I'll give you a ride anywhere. And so the man said, okay, I want to go to this house. I want to buy some drugs. And he asked John, he's like, John, you do drugs? And John says, no, not anymore. I used to a lot, but I don't ever do it anymore. And the man said, how? I've tried to quit so many times and there's no way. I don't know. There's no way. And John said, Jesus is the only way. And the man said, oh, you're one of those Christians. You think that if I just follow Jesus, I'll quit doing drugs. John's like, yeah. And John started telling him about how much God loves him and all this stuff. And the guy, he was talking to him. He was enjoying the conversation. And John said, you can be free of the drugs. Turn your life over to Jesus. I don't want to do that. So they're driving. It's quite a ways away to the house where they sell the drugs. And they pull up right in front of the house. And the guy's sitting in the car. And he's not getting out. He's just sitting there. Man, can you ever be free of drugs? John says, yeah, give your life to Jesus. I don't know. My life is a mess. There's so many bad things that I've done. I don't think Jesus would take me. Yeah, well, he loves you. He doesn't care about those things. All you have to do is accept him right now. You can be free of it all, man. Your life can change forever. The man says, you know what? Yes, I want to accept Jesus right now. And John prays with him. And the man tells Jesus about how sorry he is for all the sins of his life. And he gives his life to Christ right there in the car. And after they're done praying, he looks at my friend John. And he says, listen, I have clothes and things in this house. But I'm scared to go in there. But I just want to go get my stuff. Will you be here when I come out? Yeah, I'll give you a ride wherever you want to go. That's what the Lord told me to do. Give the man a ride. So he goes in, he gets his clothes. It's all in a big plastic bag, just a trash bag, threw whatever he had in there. Runs back out, puts it in John's car, gets in the car. And John's like, where are we going? The man said, I have no idea. All of my life is in that house and now it's over. And John said, well, I'm going to see my friend who is addicted to drugs, who's in this rehab. You can ride with me. The man said, okay. So they go to the rehab. And a rehab place in the U.S. will have a lot of security, right? They don't want people coming and going that might bring drugs or alcohol. They don't want strangers just showing up. And so the director comes out and meets John, who he knew, and this other fellow he doesn't know. He says, who's this guy? And John tells him the story. The Lord told me to pick him up. I did. We went to the drug house. He accepted Christ, got his stuff, and he left it. And he wants to get clean. And the drug rehab, it costs a lot of money. People pay because they're going to live there, all of their food, their lodging, everything that they need will be there. It costs money. The director, he tells John, he says, well, okay, go and visit your friend. And so this new believer guy, he's looking around and he's like, man, I wish I could come here. I don't have any money. There's no way I could. But this could do it. This could really help me as I follow Christ to get rid of the drugs. And so the director looked at him and said, are you serious? I said, yes. He's like, I'll give you a room. Come and stay. Just like that. All because, as a follower of Christ, even though John didn't want to at first, much like the parable, he did say yes. He turned around, he picked this guy up, and now there's a new brother in Christ who's getting clean, getting rid of the drugs, changing his life. And that's what happens when we really choose to follow Jesus. When we really choose to act. And what James is telling us is that our actions are all based on what we believe. What do we believe that Jesus wants from us? Do we believe that he's an honest fellow? That Jesus will tell us the truth? You know, I'll give you another example. This one might be a little more fun. But do you think that I'm an honest guy? Yeah? Do you believe me? If I say something, is it true? You're not sure? Maybe not? Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I got here today, I hid a treasure outside the door somewhere. And if you want to get up and go find the treasure, then go. Right now. Go. Go look. Go see what you find. Anyone can go, not just one. Everyone can go. Go and look and find the treasure. It's there, I promise. Go look. I'm going to go watch and see who finds it. Anybody can go. What are you waiting on? Believe me or not. Who's going to find it? Yes. Oh, now come back in. Come up and we'll open it all together. Come on. Come up to the front. You win. Everyone in. Just stand here and wait. Come on in. Abby found the prize. Is Abby okay? Yeah. All right. Open it up. Show us what's in there. Whatever's in there is yours. What is it? Something good or bad? Is it good? Oh, it's 500 rupees. It's yours. You found it. So Nicely done. Looking under the brick, that was special. What's the point that I want to make? If we believe truly there is a treasure, we'll get up and go find it. If we believe that Jesus wants us to do something, do we sit still? Or do we get up and do it? We get up and we do it. And that's the point. Your faith is not just the thing I talk about. It's not just the show that I make. But it's in the action. The action proves what you believe. The action proves what you believe. If we're going to seek Jesus, if we're going to spend time with other believers, He's going to lead us. I promise. He will do incredible things, like my friend John. My own life, story after story after story after story of the times when Jesus said to do something and I either obeyed or I didn't obey. If we truly believe Him, if we truly have faith in Jesus, then we'll follow Him wherever that is. It's about the action. Because we can't just talk it. We can't just say, oh, I'm a very strong believer in Jesus. Really? What does James say? Where is your work? Show me how much you believe. If you believe, you'll go. If I said there was a bomb under this tile and we would all die if we don't leave, if you believe me, you'll run. If you truly believe the things of Jesus, you'll do the things of Jesus. It's so, so simple. And so easy to fake it. It's so easy to say, oh yeah, I look the right way, I say the right things, I'm a big believer in Jesus. In our heart, we don't care. There's a difference between good fruit and bad fruit. I have a farm at home. We grow the food and we give the food to the poor. One of the ways that we do the funding is that we'll make what we call apple butter. It's like a jam or a jelly, but it's made from apples and cinnamon and some other spices, cloves and different things. And what you do, the way that you make it, is you take the apple and you boil it, you take off the peel, and you cook it down, you add a lot of sugar to it, because we're Americans, we like a lot of sugar in everything. We add a lot of sugar, we add the spices, and it cooks, and it becomes a dark brown. And it's thick, right? Almost like a paste, like glue, it's so thick. And we put it on breads and all kinds of things like that. And some people, the apple butter that I make is very popular, and they tell me they just take the jar and a spoon and eat it. And there's a lesson in that as well about good fruit versus bad fruit. The things that we do one way or the other. I went to get apples at an apple orchard, the place where they grow all the apples. That's the cheapest way to get it. And I go out to get the apples, and I go out and I take my little daughter with me who's 4, and we go out. Among the trees are just loaded apples everywhere. And she starts picking the apples and putting them in the bag. And I'm doing the same, and I look at it. Oh, it's so beautiful, and stick it in. These giant, huge red apples. And so I pick a bunch of apples and I go back, and then they have a bunch of apples that are ugly, but they're very cheap. And they've got big warts on them and spots on them, or maybe a bird has pecked into it, and they're ugly. They're just ugly. When I get home, I start to cut the apples up. And all the beautiful ones, I cut them, break it open, it's full of worms. The middle is rotten. Much of the fruit is wasted. On the outside, it looks so good. On the inside, it's ugly. And the ugly fruit, the one with the warts and the bird pecks and the small apples, never a worm one. Every one that I cut, completely good in the fruit. And sometimes we can fake it. We can make it look like, oh, I'm following Jesus. Look at all the good things I'm doing. But it's not from our heart. It's really bad fruit, no matter how it looks on the outside. We want to follow Jesus. We want to obey Him. We want to take action. It starts with Him so that He gets the glory, so that He gets the honor, the praise. All of our faith starts with, what did God say? Think back to the book of Genesis. The serpent comes and he talks to Eve. What does he say? Did God really say? Because if I don't believe that God said it, I won't take the action. Being a follower of Christ means we follow Christ. We hear His voice. So Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. We listen, we obey, we produce good actions, good fruit that can be used to build His kingdom, to bring Him glory, to raise up the King of the kingdom. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want our lives to be about. Not about the show, Not that it looks pretty. And not that we just sit around and do nothing. We want to take action, and good action. This important action. This obeying Jesus. Because that's where the amazing is. A lot of times we think our Christian life is dull. It's boring. You go to church and some white guy is preaching at you. You go every Sunday, the sermons are the same, the songs are so old. The old people, they like all their hymns. The slow song, no chorus, you know, the same thing over. I'm so boring. Maybe we're going for the show. Maybe your Christian life every week, you're thinking, man, just Sunday to Sunday and in between, what is God doing? Is he only work on Sunday? We take the day off so he can work? God's working every day. He's leading every day. He's speaking every day. But are you listening? Maybe your Christian life is boring because you're not listening to God. He will always take us to amazing places. Always. I promise. If you listen, you seek him to hear what he has to say and listen and do it and obey. Let's pray. God, I do pray that the faith of these believers here would be real, and that we could see it in the action that they do. That it's not just about coming to this camp and we dump a bunch of more knowledge into our head, but Lord, what we want to do is to learn to hear your voice and to take action, to follow what it is that you are saying to do, and to do it well, not for our glory, but for your glory. And God, I pray that you would give each of these guys the courage that when you say something, that we do it. Because it does take courage to step out and to follow you into all the strange places that you'll lead us. I just want to take a minute, Lord, and let there be silence. And I want to challenge you guys to think a minute and to ask God about your heart. Ask him, am I really following you? Lord, thank you for this time together. Continue to speak to us throughout this day. Let us examine ourselves and see what the truth is. Am I a follower? Do my actions prove it? We love you and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.